Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, and today with me, I'm stepping into the boxing world. You know, I'm a big fan of boxing. You know, I've been checking out this brother that I got on with me today. Goes by the name of Regis Prograis. Did I pronounce it right, bro?
You got it, bro. You got it. Usually a lot of people butcher my name, but you actually got it, brother. So I'm glad you got it right.
Yeah, man, I was working. I seen it earlier. I was like, hold on. I think that IS is silent.
Right. You got it.
Hey, so, man, tell me how soon and how early did you get into boxing? We like to start at the beginning when we talk to people.
To start off with, bro, I was always a rough person growing up, bro, to be honest. I fought, you know, I'm from New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? I'm in New Orleans right now, but I'm from New Orleans and I just grew up fighting, you know, so I was always rough. I did, I played every sport, you know, all the rough sports, you know, like the football, I did karate, basketball, I did a little bit of soccer, played baseball, I did everything. But then I just love fighting, you know, like even when I was young. So, you know, I don't want to keep, you know, since my time is limited, I don't want to go too much in depth, but most people know about like my whole football story, you know. So I was in high school, I played football, and in the 10th grade, like when I was going to McDonald's 35, we were always getting the gloves. We were like, all the football players were getting the gloves and stuff. And, you know, I used to go, like, I never really got invited into the room, basically, like where they used to fight and all that. So one day, like I went and I knocked on the door, and basically they had a dude with the gloves on already. And then they had like, basically they needed somebody to fight them, and everybody was kind of scared. So I walked in the room and they kind of threw me in there, basically. You know what I'm saying? One of my pops, he looked at me like, you bout it? He gave me that look like, you with it? And I was like, you know what? Go ahead. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So I did it. I went ahead. I whooped the dude real bad. Then everybody at the school, cause they know me for like being a fighter. And I never was known for that. I was always like a class clown, a funny man, always playing with girls and stuff. So I never was like known as like a fighter and stuff. And then everybody was like, damn, this dude really got hands. He really know how to fight. So then after that, we would do it like every week, you know, every Friday or something like that. Everybody was getting the gloves and I was just whooping everybody. I kept beating everybody. Basically, I was just, nobody couldn't beat me. And then one day the coach came in and he saw me. And then, you know, I was fighting. I was in the 10th grade, and I was fighting 11th graders and 12th graders. And then, you know, I was small. You know, of course, I'm not big in stature right now. And I was just beating people way bigger than me, you know. So, and these were all football players, you know, of course. So they were strong and stuff. And then after that, like, one day the coach came in. He saw me, and he was like, bro, he pulled me to the side. He was like, look, I don't think you have a future in football, but you might have one in boxing. And like I said, during that time, I wasn't even into football like that anyway. I was just kind of doing it, but I just wasn't into it no more. It wasn't a passion for me no more. I was good at park ball, but when I got to high school, those dudes, they go to camps. They get back from camp. They way bigger, way stronger. Yeah. It was like, you know what? I don't want to do this no more. I'm done with it, you know? So I quit football, and, you know, that was it. I started going to a boxing gym, and that was my 10th grade year. And actually, so what happened was my grades started going down. So my mama, she kind of took me out. And then I started back in the summertime. And then I started like in May. And then, of course, in August, that was the same year as Katrina, August. That was May 2005. And then August 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit. And then I had to move to Houston.
So are you live in Houston now?
Correct? I'm in Katy, Texas. Yeah, basically Houston. Yeah.
Okay. And what was the, you know, since you brought up Katrina, if you don't mind, going through that, you know, at a young age, was pretty young then. I'm 2 years older than you. You know, what was that like for you personally, you know, dealing with that?
I mean, it was a hard time, but it was like, the thing is, so when Katrina hit, we got out of school, you know, so I was out of school for like months at a time. You know, so we was happy at first, you know, but then like the thing, it didn't hit for a long time that it was just like kind of like being on vacation for a little while. But then when we found out it was a time that we was all staying in hotels and stuff, like I'll get to that later, but we was all like staying in hotels. And then they had like somewhere on the computer where you can type in your zip code and you can look at your area. And we typed in our zip code and our whole neighborhood was a lake. You could just see the tops of the roofs. That's it. It's everything was water. You can't see nothing. And then it just hit me like, bro, this is my new home. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to go back home ever again, like ever, you know, as far as like and live like, you know, like how we was, you know, everything's going to change. So that's when, you know, that's when it really hit me like, all right, this is our new life. At first we was like, we always thought we was going to go back. We always thought like, all right, we getting a little vacation from school and stuff, and but we, it's gonna clear up and we gonna go back because people don't know in New Orleans it's called hurricane season. Actually, right now we in hurricane season, you know, so it's actually a season for New Orleans. Like it's hurricanes and stuff like that always hit the Gulf and all that, and so then, but before like even before that. Usually it was like even a few years before that the newscasters or whatever, they get on there and they say, oh, it's gonna be a storm, you need to evacuate, you need to do this, and then like a little wind come and everybody filled up the gas tanks, everybody bought all this stuff and nothing happens. So that's like, that was years prior, you know, it always happened basically. But then with Hurricane Katrina, I remember the mayor at the time was Ray Nagin. He got on, he was like, look, it's gonna be like Hurricane Betsy. And Hurricane Betsy was a storm that hit when my mama, you know, my mom was little, my grandma in them time. And my grandma just remember being in boats and all that. My grandma, she took us out. She was like, yeah, if it's gonna be like Betsy, we gotta go. So, you know, we got on the road the day before Hurricane Katrina hit. We went to Houston and it was kinda hard because, you know, I didn't have nothing. Basically, I had I think it was like 3 shirts, 2 pair of jeans, 1 pair of shoes, like 2 pair of drawers, 2 pair of socks, and that's it. Like, I mean, that's literally the only thing I had because we, like I said, we think we coming back, you know?
Right.
So we, you know, we just was staying in hotels and, you know, just staying in FEMA lines, and that was just our reality for a long time, you know, a very long time. So I moved to Houston. I was going from hotel to hotel. Then I went to, after that, I went to, I think, Slidell. Then I went to Mississippi. Then I went back to Houston. And then that's when I stayed in Houston.
Got you. So that, you know, I'm sure that was, not only a scary, tragic, you know, experience, but I want to fast forward a little bit, you know, to your recent decision that you just lost in your fight against Josh Taylor. I asked you a little bit more about the actual fight, but I wanted to, your response in your post fight interview was, you know, very humble. It was like you wasn't even bothered. Going through what you went through, is that a part of, you know, why, you know, to take a big loss like that, you know, it didn't really seem like it got you down.
You know what? It's just like, what can you do? You know, like it was a close fight, and to be honest, man, I still thought I won the fight. You know, like it was a very, very close fight. A lot of people thought I won the fight. He won. It was in his country. I just felt like I came out like a soldier. At the end of the day, I still felt like I came out like a soldier because I went over there. It was 20,000 people in the stands. Like 20,000 people is a lot of people. People here don't even do that. You know, if you compare that, like the Deontay Wilder in the Fury fight in Las Vegas, I was at that fight and it was like 18,000 people. So we had 20,000 people in the stands and I was in a different country, a foreign country, all these people, 20,000 people against me. So I just felt like, you know, listen, if I would have been here, and I won't say the judges cheated me, and I would never say that the judges cheated me, but it was a close fight, but I still felt like I won. You know, I did the most damage. I did the most damage. If you look at the stats, my stats was higher than his in every I'm talking about every category. Punches landed, punches thrown, most jabs landed, like body punches, power punches, everything. I had the most, like everything, accuracy, all that stuff. I outlanded him, I outdid him basically. But it was a close fight, you know, and at the end of the day, you can't complain, and it was his night. Sometimes you can't go against, like, basically destiny, you know. It was his night that night, you know, and after the fight, like, when before I even heard the judges' scorecards, my trainer told me, he was like, all right, he got the fight. And that it just hit me like, you know what? It's his night. You know, I can't do nothing about it. You know, it's his night. I can get out there and complain. And they robbed me. They cheated me. I'm in a different country. I could have said all that, but it's no point. You know, like I went out there. I gave what I had to. I gave it what I had to give, you know, giving my all. He gave it his all. It was a very, very close fight. He won the fight and, you know, it is what it is, you know, but it only makes me stronger, you know, like that's the main thing for me. It only makes me stronger. And that's kind of how I look at it.
Right. Yeah. So, cause we'll come back to the fight. We'll come back to that. But with everything going on now in the country, in the world, actually during COVID, man, how have you been, staying sane, in shape and prepared for your next, your next go around?
All right. Well, the thing is, man, I've been training nonstop constantly, like actually my trainers had to slow me down, So when COVID first hit, I was living in LA, I moved to LA for a year. Absolutely loved it. It was felt like I lived on vacation. I love living in LA, but I had to move back. I moved back to Houston, because it's just like my work is in Houston, work time is in Houston. When I lived in LA, I felt like, I live on vacation, and I had to self reflect and feel like, I don't need to feel like this. I cannot feel like I live on vacation right now. I need to feel like I'm in training camp. And that was my whole thing in Houston. So anyways, to get back to the point. So since I moved from LA, I went back to Texas and I've been training nonstop, man. I've been training nonstop. I actually got a fight coming up. I can't really give the details right now because they want the network to do that. So just kind of stay tuned to my whatever Instagram and social media and all that type of stuff. But my trainers told me, slow down. So for the last like 2 weeks, I've been just chilling out and, just kind of watching my weight and just cooling out right now because I actually been training too much, basically.
Gotcha. So, yeah. And that was actually going to be my next question. When you have a fight, coming up and you got a fight scheduled, what changes do you have to make? Cause we know you got, you do 3, maybe 4 days and stuff like that, but when do you crank it up and when do you turn it down?
So I crank it up about six to eight weeks before the fight. That's when I crank it up. So you talk about 3 times a day. I train about 3 times a day, 2-3 times a day every day, Monday through Saturday. And just nonstop, gruesome training, but like right now, not right now because I've been chilling before the fight and stuff, but when I was training, I still train once a day, but even with that once a day, I was training like 2-3 hours, which is a lot, because when I train, I'm really training, I go and, no matter if I have a fight or not, I still bust my ass and I still do what I gotta do. But as far as when training camp start, it's gruesome and it's really hard and it's 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm. What's your because your fight weight, you're at 135, right?
Probably at 140, super light.
140. Yeah, 140. Right. What's your normal walk around weight?
I got above usually like 157 to 160. Right, but one time before I got up to like 160, I think 6 or 167 before. But that was like real heavy for me. But like right now, actually probably smaller right now because I adjusted my diet a little bit. But yeah, from like 150, say like 155 to like 162, 163. That's like my walk around weight.
Is that weight when you do your weight cut? Is that tough or is it come pretty easy to you?
It's always gonna be tough. It's getting easier. To be honest, it's really getting easier for me now. I'm getting older and I'm just knowing how to do it. That's the main thing right now. I'm getting older, but I'm just learning how my body works and stuff. When I was younger, I could sit in the sauna for 3 hours a day and lose 20 pounds and something in a day. I lose in one sitting, I might lose 10 pounds or something like that. But now I know I can't do that no more. And I have to control my eating and stuff. And now I really know how to do it. So my last 2 fights, it really been like, I've been just on point all the way.
And with going into fights, there's a lot of business you gotta take care of and decisions you gotta make. I talked to another boxer, his name is Blake Mickerman, who's in that Mike Tyson Roy Jones card.
Okay,
right. That too. But I didn't realize that you guys, still get sponsors and things of that nature going into the fights and stuff.
Right, and of course.
So how do you, from what I understand, you're sponsored or have a partnership with a company called 110?
110,
yeah. So I wanted to ask you, how did that come about? What is it about? What did it mean for you?
So, what's up? So really, so with that, like, first off, is like a friend of mine, you know, and she kind of gave me the idea about the whole 110 thing and like the fundraise for the kids and stuff. And that's kind of like just what I'm about, you know. I'm all about helping the kids and stuff for and just, you know, like she said, she want to do a fun, like the fundraiser stuff, and 50% of the proceeds will go to the organization she's trying to help out, you know, and using basically our platform. So I kind of partnered with her, and I just thought it was, you know, I thought it was a real good idea. And like I said, first off, it's just like, it was like a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we partnered on, so we're going to start partnering on some things. And, you know, I just, you know, I feel like I have a good feeling about it. And that's why I feel like it's going to really take off.
Right. And yeah, that's same with me. I'm huge on, you know, doing things for the youth, and, you know, trying to make sure that we have a, you know, our kids, and I don't know if you have kids or not, but our kids.
I got two of them already. Two and one on the way.
Oh man, congrats.
Yes, thank you, bro.
And you know, they the future, so we want to make sure, you know, that they're supported in the way they need to be and whatnot. So when I, you know, I heard about 110 and you, I was like, yeah, that's dope. I definitely want to talk about it. You know, I'm a, you know, African American man, and in today's times, you know, it's crazy, and you know,
right.
You know, the youth need a lot of support, especially,
exactly.
You know, stars like yourself. What is it like for you when you, you know, you're around kids in New Orleans and stuff, and even if it's just family and all.
I mean, I want to be inspiration, bro. Like, that's the main thing, like, for me. And that's why, you know, same thing, why I, you know, when Megan told me about the 110 thing, that's why I want to, you know, I was like, you know, I'll be a part of it because of the kids, because I know it's just the inspiration, you know. I want to inspire the kids, you know. I didn't have that growing up in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that, you know, basically, like, I didn't see I can touch somebody personally that did what I did, you know. I had to go way to Houston and, you know, train next to Holyfield and all those people, because as a boxer, as a fighter, you know, I didn't have that growing up, you know. So that's the main thing, man, just to give them inspiration to be like, you can make it, you know, you definitely can make it, you know. So now when I go to schools and I go talk to kids, and now we're going to be doing with the 110, we could be doing fundraising. I just go talk to the kids and tell them, like, you could, that's the main thing, to give them, you know, to give them inspiration and give them, mm-hmm, confidence that they can do it, you know, because I didn't have that. My confidence grew. And that's one of the people don't realize in sports and athletics, especially in boxing, your confidence is one of the main things. You can't go into the ring and thinking you're going to lose. You got to go into the ring thinking, like, this dude can't mess with me. Like, it's no way this dude can mess with me. That's how your mindset got to be. And so I didn't have that coming up. I didn't have that. I didn't, you know, and I got it little by little, you know. So when you got somebody that has it and you can touch them and you can feel them and you can really be there with them, you know, it definitely makes a big difference.
Yes, sir. Man, that's what's up. That's beautiful. And so now I'm going to go back to boxing. I wanted to ask you about this Tyson Roy Jones, you know, that's coming up, man. What do you think about that, and who do you think wins?
Man, to be honest, listen, bro, Tyson, my favorite fighter of all time. You know, between Mike Tyson and Roberto Duran, that's my two favorite fighters of all time. So I always got to rock with Mike Tyson. It's an old man fight. It is what it is. You know, I think it's going to be entertaining, you know, and Tyson looked good on the pads and stuff. But people, I realize, I think Tyson's last fight was, I forgot how many, 15 years ago or something like that. And he didn't look good, you know. So
right. All
of a sudden, you know, he looks good on the pads. He's in shape. He's explosive. But I think once he starts fighting, the old man is still going to be there, you know. But it's a good thing. I think it's still entertaining for him and Roy Jones. I think it's still going to be a very entertaining thing. It's a good thing because they can make a lot of money together. So, I mean, I enjoy it. I'm definitely going to be watching. You know, I can say all the stuff about the old man all I want, but I'm going to watch that fight no matter what, because Tyson's my favorite fighter.
Yeah, nah, same here, man. Like, of course, you know, even on their primes, you know, there are two different weight classes, but, you know, these are two mega superstars in the sport.
Right.
Where do you see, you know, your future? I know the plan is to get the belts back and everything. So I know that.
Yeah, gotta get my plan right now, man. You know what? I don't really plan too much because every time I plan something, I shatter those goals. Like every time I have a goal, I shatter it. I do everything I really want to do. Everything I say, I tell all my people, man. I say what I say I'm gonna do, I'm really gonna do it. Everything I say. Something I just got today in New Orleans. I said I was gonna get it for a while and I just got it, you know. So Everything I say I'm gonna do it. But my first goal is to be a champion and get at 140. I have to get the belt back, be a two-time champion at 140. Then after that, I feel like I'll be comfortable moving up to 147 and then getting the belt up there, you know. And then once that happens, you know, your goals change and stuff. You always say some things, but your goals change. And, you know, for me, the money always comes with it. So I never have a goal on the money because the money, you know, more money runs in than you'll think of running, you know. So I don't really worry about that. But my main thing right now is to keep getting better and, you know, be a champion again in 140.
So being that you're in Houston, man, and we've seen some funny things on social media recently with the Charlo twins. I don't know if you're aware of that.
That's but, my partners, bro. Yeah, I talked to both of them about it too. Yeah.
what are those guys like in real life, man? They seem fun. You know what?
They just like that, bro. It's just like people don't realize money enhance who you really are. You know, so like that's really them, bro. Like this thing, the whole thing about them getting into it, they're brothers. Of course they're gonna get into it, you know. But like,
right.
They're just famous now. You know, they're famous and rich now. So now it's a lot of people got different opinions and all that type of stuff about it. But they've been like that, bro. Like that's just how they are. They're brothers. They used to fight, you know. Like They used to really fight. Been around them. They fight and fist fighting and stuff in the house, you know. And with their older brother, you know. So that's just how they are. They just, you know, that's them. But it's just other people, you know. Both of them got other people around them, so they kind of got inputs and they say things. But at the end of the day, bro, they still brothers. They love each other. And, you know, that's why a lot of people shouldn't get into that, bro, because they're brothers, and that's just right. How they are, you know? Like, I've been around there for a long time. Jamal and Mel, they always get into it with each other, you know? But now they're just famous. So, you know, famous and making a lot of money, and so they, like, you know, I feel like they competing. Sometimes they might compete with each other, but, you know, for me, it's no competition, bro. It's your brothers, you know what I'm saying? Y'all the same, you know? So, and both of them is very close with their mama, with their older brother. They all close with their mama, so I'm pretty sure their mama had to – I think they cool with each other now. I'm pretty sure their mom was like, boy, y'all better stop.
Cut it out.
Don't tell your brother sorry. Y'all better stop. And I'm pretty sure that's who put an end to that.
Yeah, my brother, his name is Chris Haynes. He worked with Yahoo Sports and TNT down in that NBA right. bubble. And you know, we don't have our arguments and disputes on the internet. Well, we haven't yet, at least. But yeah, like you said, get into it all the time. They just have to be famous boxers and all.
Right. And that's all, bro. Yeah, they were.
So when, let's fast forward 10 years from now. Where is Regis 10 years from now?
Oh, man. That's, you know what? That's a long way, man. That's a long way. You know, for me, I can't even plan my next day, you know. It's a very, very long way for me, man. I'll have everything I ever wanted. Probably my kids will be set for life. I'll have, you know, just a lot of different things. I'll be a legend. I'll definitely be a legend in boxing. Hopefully I'll be retired in 10 years, you know. I'm 31 right now, so you talk about 41. Hopefully I'll be retired. You never know, you know, because it's just about the itch. Everybody get the itch to keep going and stuff. So, yeah, man, I know I'll be a legend. Ouch. And it made a whole lot of money and real good investments. And, but I can't even say, man, 10 years from now, I just know I'll be very successful, you know. And, you never know. Maybe I'll be a man in New Orleans or something like that.
I'll try to ask little funny questions here and there.
Right.
But,
right.
Going back to boxing and your style, where does your style come from? Do you, you know, kind of train and, you know, try to, you know, take things from a certain person, or does it come from a lot of people?
It's a lot of people. Excuse me. My partner's outside, bro. But it's a whole lot of people, man. It's So I'm a student of the game, man. I've been watching boxing for years now. I've been studying. First off, it was Mike Tyson. And, you know, then you talk about like a Pernell Whitaker and I watch Duran a lot, Marvin Hagler, all the southpaws like Irizarry Laura and Rigondeaux, and it's just a lot of people, man. I just like looking at all those fighters and stuff. But the main thing I'm working on now is being me. That's the main thing, you know, because you can't be nobody else in the ring, you know. I always had a problem with that. I always would try to be somebody else, you know. But when I'm just me and I'm flowing, I can't be beaten, bro. I can't be stopped. But, you know, I try to just look at other people like, oh, that'll work for me, and I'm going to be just like them. But it's just, you know, you could do some things. You could take some things people do, other people do. But at the end of the day, you got to be you, you know. So now what I've been watching more is just myself. You know, I watch a bunch of boxing. I'm a southpaw, so as a southpaw fighter, the best person to watch ever is like Pernell Whitaker. You know, that's like southpaw boxing at its finest. You know, and I even, you know, you can look at Manny Pacquiao, but he's just a special type person, and you know, it's hard to fight like him and stuff. But as far as my style, it's more like a Pernell Whitaker and like a Duran, Roberto Duran. And I watch them, but at the same time, I'll start watching me more than anything, because I just got to be me.
Right. Makes sense. And I was just looking at some of your highlights earlier today. And you know, when you knock down people or knock out people, what's a better feeling to, you know, knock somebody out with a headshot or a body shot?
That body. That body, man. That body. Because when you hit somebody in the body, bro, they're not going to get up. You can when you hit somebody in the head, I mean, just think about it, right? What's harder, the skull or the stomach?
True.
Right? So when you hit somebody in that stomach, bro, no matter, bro, it just like, it's certain place that doesn't have no muscle around it. So if you hit them at the right time, it's just nothing they can do about it, you know, unless they just mentally tough to, you know, to take it basically. But, man, I the body is always better than the head for sure.
Yeah, because I was, who is it? It was it Velasquez or Velasco? Velasco, you knocked down about three times with body shots. Your head after the first one, though, are you like, you know, I'm about to hit that same shot again?
Like, I knew his body was weak, so it's just like, all right, I'm going to keep hitting it. His body weak, like, all right, let's keep hitting him in the stomach. Just keep hitting him in the stomach. He can't take it. Because a lot of people can take head shots. You know, you go to the Mexicans and stuff, they can take head shots and stuff, but those body shots, them dudes can't take that.
All right, I'm gonna let you get out of here in a minute, man. But let's go back to the Josh Taylor fight. I seen one of your interviews where, you know, people were saying that you slowed down, like you got tired or whatever, and you know whatnot. How much does, like you said, you beat him on the scorecard, you know, virtually everywhere. How much does body language hurt you in a decision?
A lot. It's just, yeah. But the thing is, I came back. The last three rounds, I came in strong, you know. So, you know, that's why I felt like I won the fight, because the first rounds I came out, you know, moving and hitting them and stuff, then I know I gave up the middle rounds for sure. I know I gave up those middle rounds. But then I watched the fight myself, and it's still, the middle rounds was close too. But then I came on real strong those last three rounds, you know. So, yeah, body language is a big part, man, because the judge, when it's a close fight, the judge is looking at, all right, who's losing? You know, if I can't tell who's losing by the punches, I got to tell on who's losing by who feels like they're losing, you know. So that definitely, you know, plays a big, big part. So, yeah, like I said, I know I give up the middle rounds, man. I let them hit on me, and it was kind of a stupid tactic. It was just like in the middle of the fight, I was just like, whatever. I was kind of like, whatever. And then – I don't know, it's just a feeling. I felt like, all right, I don't care, whatever. I don't care about this fight. But then my trainer, after I think the 8 or 9 round, my trainer was like, bro, that's a lot of hardware you gonna let go. Man, look at all this hardware. Then I was just like, you know what? You're right. I got him. Let me get him. And then I went out there strong, you know, but yeah, I should just pick that up basically early in the fight.
Mm-hmm. And how often do, in a 12 round bout, do you kind of, you know, pick and choose rounds, or, you know, obviously you want to get up early. But once you're up, or you feel like you up, what are you thinking when you're kind of, you know, you're not shutting down, like you're not just giving up rounds, but you kind of, you know, change the tactics. Like what kind of switches?
It depends on what he give you and what he don't give you, you know. So then when you got you when you have to switch tactics, that's what you just gotta do, you know, and just and it's a mental thing, man. A lot of people don't realize like it's like physical chess, you know, is that just how it is, like physical chess. So it's just like I said, man, it's all a mental thing, you know. So you gotta know when to switch, you gotta know when to do certain things, you gotta know when not to do certain things, and that's just how it is. And that fight, it changed a lot of things were changing, you know, like it was some things wasn't working, some things was working. You gotta know how to change them at a you know, at that split second, you know. So
did you feel like he was your toughest opponent?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. I definitely thought he was my toughest opponent. Yeah, no matter. Yeah, I definitely thought he was my toughest opponent, you know, because he took a lot of punches. You know, he took a lot of, like, you saw his eyes. His eye was all the way closed, bro. He kept coming, you know. And I knew he was going to be a tough opponent, you know, but I didn't know he was going to be that, like, to where I hit him and hit him and hit him. He just kept there. He stayed there, you know. And, he was definitely my toughest opponent, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, like, we're getting your belts back. Of course, you want a rematch.
He ain't coming nowhere close to me, bro. Nowhere close to me.
Yeah, so
he ain't coming nowhere close to me, for sure. I know that ain't going to happen. He ain't going to come nowhere close to me no time soon. So, you know, if as far as getting my belts back, maybe they vacate them or wave. I don't know. It depends, you know. Boxing always changes the landscape so fast, you know. Like, last night, Jose Ramirez, he has the other two belts, and he ran from me forever. I was supposed to Ben fight him. I was the mandatory for the WBC belt years ago, like 2 years ago, and I just never got the opportunity at him, and he kept defending the title and stuff, but he fought Victor Postol last night, and he really lost the fight, but they gave it to him, but it was a very, very close fight. And I thought, a lot of people thought he lost, a lot of boxing writers and stuff, they thought he lost. So, with that, you just never know, man. You never know who is going to have the belt for this long or what. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. So right now, my same focus is to, you know, be a champion again at 140. That's my focus right now. But everything, of course, things could change all the time. You know, things just change, and that's just how it is.
Right. So you already said Mike Tyson is your favorite boxer of all time. Give me your top. Give me your top three boxers of all time.
My top three fame. My top three favorite, or my top three or top the greatest.
The greatest. Let's go with the greatest. Let's go with that.
The greatest, man, is number one is Sugar Ray Robinson. You got to go with Sugar Ray Robinson. Let me see. I got to put Muhammad Ali in there. And let me see who the great.
Yeah, I feel like three make it tough. So that's why I was like,
three make it real tough, bro. Yeah, Ray Robinson gotta be in there. Ali gotta be in there. And a part of me wants to say Floyd Mayweather. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to not put Floyd in there. But if you put Floyd in there, you gotta put Pacquiao in there. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, but then they got Henry Armstrong, you know, so. It's hard, bro. It's real hard. It's top three. I can't even do three, bro. I got to do a five because it's just like, you know, it's so hard, bro. It's so many great, great, great fighters, you know. But number one is for me is Sugar Ray Robinson. And then you got to have Ali. It's Ali. So you got to have Ali in the top three. No matter who you are, you got to have Ali in that top three. And Ray Robinson. So it's all about putting that last person in there. So, you know what? I'm gonna go with this generation. I'm gonna say Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather. All right. We go. That's solid, man. You can't go wrong with them three. You can't go wrong with them three. That's different generations as well. Like each generation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Would you be my last question before you get you out of here? Would you be interested in seeing an old man fight? Well, I don't even know if they ain't even considered old man yet, but an OG fight between Mayweather and Pacquiao again.
I think I would, you know, because it's still their name so big, you know. They still, I think they both. Well, you can't say old man yet. The Tyson, right, that's an old man.
Yeah,
you can't say they the old man, but I think I'd still be interested, you know, because it's Floyd, you know. You still want to see what Floyd go do. Pacquiao is still a beast. Pacquiao is still active. Pacquiao is actually a world champion right now.
Right,
you know?
Right now.
Pacquiao is amazing. I think I'll be interested. I'll watch that for sure. Yeah. I won't skip that.
Nah, definitely. Yeah, the like you said, the names itself, you got to watch it. No matter if they decide to do it at 50, I'm still there.
Right. Exactly.
So anything that you want to, you know, promote in your, you know, organizations you're dealing with, or, you know, anything?
I think we set this thing up for the 110, right? So let me go ahead and I got to mention, you know, if you, you know, go ahead and support, what's that, 110ring.com. And for the Instagram is at 110ring. And as far as me, my news and stuff like that, you know, just follow me on Twitter or Instagram. I do have a big fight coming up, a really, really, really big fight coming up. And it's going to be on pay-per-view. So I can't announce it right now because, you know, the network wants to do that, but I do have a huge fight coming up. And just pay attention to my Instagram at Regis Progray, or my Twitter is at Aura Progray. So
Yes, sir. Hey, man, but I appreciate you, you know, taking time out your day, you know, to chop it up with me, man. I know you short on time right now. And, you know, I hope everything is, you know, goes well with, you know, family and, you know, your career and everything. I'll be in touch with you and, you know, following you, of course. And if you ever need anything on my end, man, let me know.
I bet, bro. Thanks, brother.
All right, y'all. And once again, this is a Minute Till Six podcast. I'm your host, Mark Haynes, signing off with Regis Progray. Stay tuned.